We're going to read one passage here, just a couple of verses in Amos, and then pray. And it is a, you know, I pray every time. It's a huge responsibility to stand in this pulpit, no matter what pastor says. It is his pulpit, and it's a huge responsibility and a huge privilege to stand here and to open the words of God and to attempt to be used by God for you to leave here better than you came in. If you're a Christian, my soul's desire is that something that God can use me to say today will help you be a better Christian when you walk out the door. And if you're in here today and you do not know Jesus Christ, my soul's heart's desire is today that the Spirit of God will be here and be, you will be ready and He will be ready for you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and to understand the truth that there is and the salvation that there is in Jesus Christ. So that's why I'm here, and I'm here to give God the glory for every bit of this, because it's because of Him. But let's read this passage real quick. It says in Amos chapter 7, let you get in the right chapter. I wanted to do all that so you'd have enough time to find Amos. Amos chapter 7, verse 7. The Bible says, "Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line." We're going to take that passage today and see if God can show us all a little bit about what's happening right there, what's going to happen in the future, and how we can be edified with His words today. But let's pray. Father, I just... it is a huge responsibility, a huge privilege, and Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to do this work in the next so many minutes, Lord. We've got a perfect Bible, we've got a perfect God, we got a really fine church, and I am the weak link in this whole deal, Lord. So I'm praying that you will use me in a way to reach the hearts and the souls of the folks that are here. Father, I pray that your Spirit is the only Spirit that's allowed to work in this room, that distractions will be kept to a minimum, and that folks will truly open their ears and see if they can find something that's coming from you out of this message. And if we can accomplish that, Lord, I give you all the glory for it. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We just read that verse, "Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou?" And unlike John in Revelation, he didn't say, "Thou knowest, Lord." He actually knew it's a plumb line. For some context here, go to the first verse in Amos, Amos 1:1. These minor prophets, they are just loaded with prophecy and telling about the end times, telling about the tribulation, telling about the millennial reign of Christ, all those type of deals, along with the message that he actually gave Israel at that time. So it's real, I don't know the word for it, but there's lots of stuff in here, okay? But we want to find out who Amos is first, okay? Verse 1, the words of Amos, who was among the herdsmen of Tekoa. So Amos was just, he said he was among the herdsmen. I take it that maybe he was a herdsman. He took care of cattle. He took care of sheep or goats or whatever there was. He was a regular guy. He was a regular guy. God called him and used him, and actually he's got a book of the Bible named after him. He was a prophet. But God was able to use this man, and he was just a regular guy. The Bible's full of that. He had these 12 disciples, and they were a bunch of fishermen, just regular guys. And as opposed to like the scribes and the Pharisees and all the know-it-alls of the time. And so God uses regular folks and uses common things in his illustrations. And so I've read this passage, I don't know how many times. It's underlined in my Bible. And being a plumber for 40 years, you know, plumb line kind of comes off the page. And if you do a little search, this is the only place where plumb line's in the Bible. And so you don't have a bunch of cross-referencing to do to try to figure out what is going on here. And so the Lord has showed me, I want to just show you a couple of things in this passage. There's a couple of things. We know who Amos is now. He's just a regular guy. And the guy, Lord is showing him some things, but he's using a couple of things in this passage. Number one, it says, thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall. Who do you think he saw? He saw pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with us, and the Word was... let me get all that straight. Y'all can laugh. Come up here. Sometimes I can come up here and quote scriptures I don't even know. And other times, the ones that I know, I can't. I sound like Paul. The things that I'd like to quote, I can't. And the things that I can quote, I won't. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? And then I believe we've got a Trinity that's made up of three persons. And there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And so, you know, the Word is the person in the Trinity, and Jesus Christ is the body that was manifested in the flesh here in the earth. And so Amos actually saw a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. That's the Lord. The other thing he sees here is a plumb line. A plumb line. A plumb line is just a... it's a tool. It's a tool. And it's a special tool because it's used as a standard. And we're going to get into that, in a standard or a measure. It's technical. It really is. The context of this passage, though, is it starts out in verse 7. And a lot of this book is the future judgment of Israel is what it's all about. And the Lord shows him some things that are going to come to pass, some famine and some horrible things that are going to come to pass in the future. And that Israel is going to be judged by the Lord and a plumb line, okay? And it's not too far of a stretch for me to make a typology here. We know who the Lord is. That's pretty sure. This plumb line is some kind of tool or standard or measure that the Lord is going to use in his judgment. What do you think that might be? And you don't need to go there, but in John 12:48 says, "He that rejected me and received not my words has one judgment, one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, and the same shall judge him in the last day." You know what that plumb line is? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And so the typology here is fairly simple to get. We know the context that there's going to be a judgment. The Lord himself and this plumb line is going to be used in this judgment for Israel. Now, we need to make an application to us because this is not just about Israel. This is about us too. So there's three truths I want to show you out of this passage concerning a plumb line. Now, the first one is, you know, we'll read it again. "Thus he showed me, behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line." The first point here is, in this deal is, Amos had a knowledge of a plumb line. He knew what it was. How many of y'all know what a plumb line is? Keep them up. That's about 50%. Yeah. If y'all are telling the truth. We do have a house full of Baptists in here. I brought one. A plumb line. Now, because I've actually used one of these. A plumb line is the line. The bottom is called a plumb bob. It's a weight. Okay? And wherever you put this down at, that is a straight line. I mean, and it is level. And it is level on every side. Okay? It's level on your side of that string. It's level on my side of the string. It's level over here. It's a perfectly straight line. Okay? So this is a tool. And the Lord was standing on this wall made by a plumb line with a plumb line in his hand. And Amos actually knew what it was. Now, if this is a tool, and we're making an application that this tool is like the Word of God, then each one of you have a plumb line in your lap right now. What you have in your lap is something that one day you're going to be judged by. Okay? And it's of God's design. Okay? Now, I've used a plumb line before because I was a plumber for years and years. And it's actually in the name, plumber, yeah. But when we would do the new plumbing on a building like this, and we'd put a pipe in the slab, and they'd pour the slab, that pipe just sticks up so far, and then they build the walls, and then I need to get that pipe vented out the roof. And so it's real hard, if a pipe is 3 foot tall right here, to try to measure and figure out where it's going to go out the roof. And so I would just climb up to the bottom of the roof and drop the plumb line down right to the center of the pipe, and guess what? Cut the hole right there. It's very simple. The pipe is going to go straight up through that hole. That was the purpose of using a plumb line tool. And this plumb line, we're going to get into some other things about it, but the main thing you need to know right now is that it's simply a tool or a standard, you could say, or a something to be measured by that the Lord used there, and we're making the application that the thing in your lap is, the Word of God is a plumb line. Okay, so if Amos had a knowledge of a plumb line, he knew what one was, my question to you is, and it should be a fairly sure, easy answer in Bible Believers Baptist Church, do you have knowledge of what's sitting in your lap? Do you know what it is? It's that book that you carry in here, and when you get out of here, you throw it in the back seat and go to Luby's? What is that book that's in your lap? The truth is, what you have in your lap, and I want you to get this, because we say it all the time, and we just say it. The truth is, those are the words of God. Those are God's words. Turn, we're going to look at some scripture because it says these things so much better than me. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Amos had a knowledge of that plumb bob, and you know what? We ought to have a knowledge of that Bible that's in us. We ought to completely know what we've got in our lap. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. You've heard this verse. 2:13 says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So the only requirement there is you got to believe that what's in your lap is the words of God. Now, we all go through stages in our Christianity, and I can remember after the death of my wife, and then actually God using folks to get me back in the Bible, sitting down and actually opening that Bible was very reverent. It was very holy to me to read God's words. And I go through stages in my life, and I'm telling you this because I know you do the same, where that this is more of just something I ought to do. Or a lot of time it's something that I should have done. Instead of actually having the knowledge that you've got a plumb line here that God has provided for you, and that it's His words. It's His words. When we go on ships, we go and we pass out New Testament Bibles. And we take every opportunity we can with those men to tell them what Jesus Christ has done for them. We take every opportunity we can, because this is not a ministry where we're probably ever going to see these men again. We got one shot. And whatever the Lord arranges for us that day, we try to take full advantage of it. We try to tell them that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh, that Jesus Christ came to this earth and lived a sinless life, that Jesus Christ got on that cross and took their sin, paid for their sin, and that He is offering them eternal life. He's offering them justification. And all they have to do is believe. And we take that message, and we try to pound it in these heads. Some of them don't want to hear it. Some of them are already prepared by God to be there that day, and they want to hear it. Okay? And everything in between. But the one thing that we make sure we do is we give them a copy of God's words. And I tell every one of them, you can believe Milton or not. You can believe me or not. You can believe anybody that goes with me or not. We're men. And we just quoted verses that said all men are liars. We quote that verse, and then on the other hand, hey, believe me about this. Okay? It's kind of crazy if I'm a Filipino standing there. But it's not crazy when I say, do you believe that these are the words of God? And they say yes. Then read this. There's some underlined verses that will help you, guide you through it. But tonight you sit down and you ask God, you know those two crazy guys that got on the ship? And they said this and that. They told me to search the scriptures, just like the Bereans searched the scriptures to see what Paul said was so. And so we tell, and I just covet the day in glory where I can see if there's some of those men that actually took and read God's words and believed what God said and got saved. And I'm telling you, everyone that's sitting here today is saved is because you believed. You had a knowledge of what you got in your lap. And my prayer today is that we rejuvenate that. It can get real old. It can get stale. But you got to realize that what God has given you is a plumb line, and it's in your lap, and it's the words of God. It's a knowledge of a plumb line. Look at the next thing here. Go back. Well, you don't have to go back to Amos. You know the deal. It was. He said there was a wall made by a plumb line. Amos not only knew that it was a plumb line, he knew that there was a wall made by a plumb line. So you know what? He not only had he had knowledge of a plumb line, he also had understanding of a plumb line. Understanding of a plumb line. You know, a plumb line, there's some certain truths that are, I can understand why the Lord used it as an example. A plumb line, number one, is never wrong. Never. I can try to lean it, and it won't work. You can't lean it, change it. Although the plumb line in your lap, they've tried to change it over and over and over. You can change it to the point where it's not a plumb line anymore. Okay? But a plumb line is always correct. And a plumb line, it serves two purposes, truly. Right now, when I hold it in this one spot, it's showing a perfectly straight line. Okay? So you've heard the term, when we put in these walls in this building, they may not have used a plumb line. They may have used, nowadays we've got laser levels and we've got GPS. We got all kinds of things that imitate what this basic tool does. But when a wall is plumb, you can tell that it's plumb. It means that it's straight up and down. This is always straight up and down. And it's straight up and down right here. And if I was to carry it over here, you know what? Guess what? Guess what? It's straight up and down right here. Okay, if I take it out in the parking lot, and you know what? It's straight up and down there. If we take this to Washington, D.C., Everything in D.C. is crooked. And we put it in Washington, D.C., guess what? It's straight. It's always the same. It does not change. It does not change. And you know what the wild thing about it is? Milton, come here. If Milton uses it, it's still straight.
Yep.
It doesn't change. It doesn't matter who uses it. It doesn't matter where they use it. It's always straight. It's always correct. It's never wrong. Is there a little application we can make to what's sitting in your lap? What you have in your lap is a plumb line that is never wrong. You've got a plumb line in your lap that's always correct. You got a plumb line in the lap that works for you the same as it works for someone on the other side of the planet. This plumb line is the absolute perfect standard. That's why the Lord is standing there, and that's what He's using to judge in the passage. Understanding of a plumb line, we know you have knowledge of what you got in your lap. You've got the words of God, but do you have an understanding of what it does? Knowledge is what it is. Understanding is what it does. Can you understand what that Bible does? In 2 Timothy 3:15, it says, talking to Timothy, it says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Those words of God, that plumb line in your lap is the reason you got saved. It's the reason you got saved. 1 Peter 1:23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." There, that book is alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It is powerful. It's powerful enough to save your soul. Romans 10:17, "So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by your plumb bob." Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Are you getting this? How powerful? We you know, in a day's time, I really don't dwell on these things. Because it's very simple, and the simple things in our Christianity we seem to just set aside. You know, nowadays, I don't know how many plumbers, because I'm an old school plumber, I don't know how many plumbers carry a plumb bob in their truck. You know, it'd be like having a flip phone. You know, they've got stuff that I wouldn't even know how to turn it on doing their work. But this works. And it's always worked, and it doesn't need to be changed. Same thing for that book that's in your lap. There's many a folk. There's many a Bible, and they look at your words of God and they change them. They say there's contradictions. It's wrong. It would be like trying to tell me that line is not straight. That line is not level. That line is not perpendicular to that floor. You can tell me that all you want. And you can go to the Greek and tell me that line is crooked. And you can go to the Hebrew and tell me it's crooked. And you can tell me that this line was predestinated before the time, you know, that it always had to be crooked. You can tell me all you want, but I know one thing. The line is straight. The line is straight, and it's always straight. That book is straight, and it always is straight. And if the truth of the matter is, you need a good knowledge of a plumb line, and you also need a good understanding of a plumb line. Everything that God has built has been based on that plumb line. It's based on that Word of God. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. If I'm not too far off a base saying that this plumb line that the Lord is standing there in His hand, if this plumb line is the words of God, then look what this verse says. Let's just start in verse 1, 11:1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by a plumb line, by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. God framed this entire world, and back to the application, that's how they frame these buildings. God framed this world by the word of God. And so what you've got in your lap is, it's powerful, it's powerful, it's powerful. The third thing, Amos had a knowledge of a plumb line. He called it just what it was. My prayer is that you have a knowledge of what's in your lap, and we don't just carry it for show, or those type of things. It's actually the word of God. Amos understood what a plumb line did. He saw a wall made by a plumb line. And so our job, and I'm telling you what, this is one that hardly ever ends, is developing and increasing your understanding of that book. Okay? That's why I had several people tell me, Tony did a great lesson. And Tony loves to teach that book. He loves to take you and get you where you understand more, increase your understanding. He doesn't know when to stop, but he likes to do it, okay? And it's good. And it's good. And in this church, we have a church filled with people that truly come here, I hope, come here because they want to get a little bit more understanding of the plumb line that you've got. But number three. You know, that verse says, the Lord stood upon a wall made with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. A plumb line in his hand. I'm going to tell you the greatest truth, the greatest, this is what you got to understand about a plumb line. A plumb line only works one way. Watch this. A plumb line works from the top down. That plumb line in your lap is God's plumb line. He's got his hand on that book. Those are his words. And that thing only works from the top down. Do you understand that? We can try to work it our way, and it's not going to do any good. The only way in our lives that we are going to build anything. Let's say you want to build a relationship. Okay, that relationship better be built by that plumb line. And that relationship is based on what God does. It's based on the top down. It won't work from the bottom up. If you're going to build a you're going to build a home. You go to this plumb line, it's going to tell you there's an order in this house. It's God, it's Jesus Christ, it's the man, it's the woman, the children. There, it comes from the top down. You see that? It's very simple. A career, a ministry. I tell you what, the things that we do or try to do around this church, whether it's go to nursing homes, whether it's go to ships, whether it's put lessons on the internet, whether it's to have a radio show, whether it's to have a teen class or a Bible club on Wednesday night, every one of those things, I can tell you without one hesitation, our desire is to make sure that God is in charge of that. And that ministry works from the top down, not from us up. And that's the way, if you're going to use that plumb line that's in your lap and build anything correctly, it's going to have to be built that way. Okay? Have you ever heard, I really need to straighten out my marriage? You've got the plumb line in your lap. That's right. That thing will straighten you out. It straightened me out before. In the years of doing plumbing and using, you know, levels and plumb lines and this and that, when I know a lot of you don't comprehend how. You know, you just go in the men and ladies' bathrooms and that stuff just appeared one day. It's kind of like it just came out of nothing, like Hebrews 11. No, there was people there when that was just dirt. And when it was just dirt, somebody had set up a string line that was a big rectangle and said, this is where the building's going to sit. Now, they based that rectangle on a plumb line. They really did. And then they call a plumber, and he comes over, and he looks at a blueprint, and he goes, well, there ought to be some plumbing right there. And he tries to measure and find out how far from that string line this is supposed to be. And then he digs some dishes, and he starts putting some pipe together so that where a lavatory is supposed to be, there's a corresponding pipe in the wall. And where a toilet is supposed to be, there's a pipe in a wall and a riser for the toilet to sit on. It's very simple in theory. Now, when you're out there in the dirt with nothing but string lines and you're trying to put a 3-inch pipe and make it come up straight into a 3.5-inch plate, you have a quarter of an inch on either side of that pipe to play with. I'm not whining. I made a good living doing this. But what I'm trying to say is many times after they pour the concrete, guess what? That pipe came up like this because it wasn't plumb. My problems start that day, and they end if they ever give me a final check, because this problem in being off-center or out of plumb follows me all the way out the roof. It's a problem that began because something wasn't plumb, and it never got better. I'm telling you, you've got a plumb line in your lap. If there is something that needs to be built or corrected, go to the plumb line as quick as you can and get it where it needs to belong. Because too many times, I've seen it just in real life where this thing, it got crooked. Lots of times those things were put in plumb and straight. And when concrete workers are walking around, we don't have any in the house. I'm sorry, but I never got along with concrete workers. Because I had my pipes straight up and down. But in pouring concrete, these are great handles. And they walk around in the concrete and they lean your pipes out of the wall. You know, for years and years and years. Bricklayers were second on the list. I didn't care for them either. Bricklayers use plumb lines also. But these problems start out small and they may not be of your device. But truly, if you need to get this thing corrected, the only way you're going to correct it is with a plumb line. And you've got that in your lap. Here's two problems that we all do. I've just explained that you need a knowledge of that book. You need an understanding of that book. And now I'm telling you, you need some wisdom. Wisdom is why you need that book. Okay? What we do, we walk through life, and instead of using this plumb line, we eyeball stuff. That looks pretty close. Right? We eyeball stuff. We got just enough knowledge in us and just enough understanding, but we don't use the wisdom to actually use the plumb line, because that's a lot of trouble. You know, if I'm going to use that plumb line and I really don't know maybe what, I may have to go ask somebody, I may have to do a little work and search the scriptures. You know, it's kind of like I need the plumb line so that I can get that wall perfectly straight. But, you know, the thing is back in the truck. And I don't want to walk all the way back to the truck. And so I'm just going to eyeball it. Any of y'all ever eyeballed anything? This is the correct answer, because we all do it. Instead of using the tool, we'll eyeball it. And the problem with that is you start out eyeballing something and it's not plumb, because you eyeballed it, just by definition. And then you add to that, and guess what? That's not plumb. And you add to that, and that's not plumb. Your problem multiplies. Your problem multiplies. Here's the other problem. Or it's not a problem. If you were to listen to everything that's just been told you about the Bible in your lap, that it's the words of God, it's never wrong, it's where I need to go for anything I'm going to build, it is the standard. And then you do that. You know what's going to happen? Every time you see something that's not plumb, boy, it's going to stick out. It's going to really stick out. You're going to see something that's not plumb or crooked or out of line, bang, it sticks out. Why? Because you are accustomed to seeing everything plumb. Make sense? Make sense? Let me tell you this. Just like Israel in this passage, one day every one of us is going to be judged by those two things, Jesus Christ and the plumb line, or the Word of God. We are going to stand before Jesus Christ and we're going to be judged by what's written in that book in your lap. Christians, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It's not going to be a determination of our salvation because our soul has already been justified through the blood of Jesus Christ. But we're going to stand in a judgment and be judged on what we did in these bodies, whether it be good or bad. And that judgment is going to be judged on that plumb line that you got there. The Lord's going to be standing there. I wouldn't doubt it if he's standing there with a plumb line. Okay? Now, if you're not saved and you're in here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, wow, you're going to be judged, and it's a different judgment. It's the white throne judgment. And when you stand before the Lord and his words, the books are going to be open. And you stand there, you're going to be judged, and that is your eternity you're going to be judged on. Let me tell you something. How many of y'all ever went to school and took a test? Let me see lots. Okay. Some of y'all still doing it. And I've done it a lot of ways. I've actually took tests that they didn't even go over any of that stuff. Right? And then you've took tests where they have given you sample questions and they have worked and you have taken tutorials and all this. All kinds of tests. And then and all kinds of stress and results and consequences. Let me tell you what your life is about right now, because mine's the same. We're all going through a test. Life is a test. Every year, every month, every week, every day, every hour, every minute, every second. You are being tested. And you know what you're being tested on? That book. You're being tested on your knowledge, your understanding, and your wisdom of the plumb line that God is going to grade you by. So in other words, let's see, I'm being tested. I've been given an answer with all the books. I mean, a book with all the answers. Have y'all taken open book tests before? You get an open book test. But wait a minute. If you're saved, guess what? You have a tutor. You've got the Spirit of God that's going to open the understanding and the knowledge and the wisdom that are in those words, and he is going to guide you into all truth. Why didn't I have that in college? Let's see. I'm given all the answers in a book, and I'm giving help. Not just a tutor. I'm getting help from the guy that wrote it. Okay? And any question that I have, guess what? He knows the answer. And you know what? When I get to the judgment, the Lord's going to stand there with the book, with the plumb line, and he's going to judge me. But guess what? He has helped me make the right decisions. It's cheating. And we get to do it. Amen. But you know what we do? We don't use the plumb line. We eyeball it. I beg you. Take that plumb line a lot more seriously. It's the words of God. Amen. Try to get as much understanding as you can get out of that book. You've got help. You have got a pastor that has a gift from God in teaching you understanding from that book. You got Tony that'll teach it longer than you can listen to it. And you've got many other people in this church that love that book, that believe that book, and that have a good understanding. And we ought to be helping each other get better at the knowledge and the understanding of that book. The one thing I can't make you do is the wisdom. If you don't pick it up and start to do stuff with it, then you're just leaving your plumb line in the truck. and you're eyeballing stuff. Please don't. Please don't do that. One more thing. You know, I talk to Christians about that test they're taking. And really, the consequences of it are rewards. Because you're already saved. You're already sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you go through this whole test of life, and guess what? It determines your rewards. That's double cheating. Okay? Now, if there's someone in here today, they're going to be judged by Jesus Christ and His plumb line, the Word of God. But you know what? They don't even have Jesus Christ. They do not have Jesus Christ. If you're in here today and there has never been a moment in your life where someone has explained to you the gospel, the truth of what Jesus Christ has already done for you, and you have listened to that and decided, you know what? I want that. I'm going to take that. I'm going to receive that. If you haven't done that, you need to do that today. Because you're going to get to a different judgment, and you're not even going to know Him. He's going to say, I never knew you. That's right. And that's not a good thing. I am going to stay right here after this service. And if you need to talk to somebody that is willing to take 5 minutes, show you the plumb line. Not what I say. Show you the plumb line, what God says about how to know when you die, you wake up in heaven. I'll stay right here and go through it with you. You don't have to do anything. There's no purchase required. You need to be present to win. But I'm going to stay here because I don't want, like I said in the beginning, I don't want anybody leaving this auditorium this morning not better off because of what's sitting in your lap, not because of what Randy preached, what's sitting in your lap. And if you don't have Jesus Christ, you can walk out of here today knowing that you've got Jesus Christ. Amen. I pray that you'll take advantage of that. I really do. Amen. Let's get every head bowed and every eyes closed. Father, I just thank you for the privilege it is to preach, Lord. That was a great passage showing Amos, the Lord and His plumb line. And Father, we know that we've been blessed. Amos didn't have anything like that, Lord. We've got your words. We've got a complete and total perfect set of the words of God, and I pray that each one of us will, now that we know it, we have the knowledge, we'll work on the understanding of that and be better Christians. And more than that, Lord, between that knowledge and understanding, we get about the wisdom of that plumb line and actually do the things that are in there. Oh, Lord, I pray that we'd all find something in this message that you can work on each one of us with. I pray that if anybody's in here right now that needs to know more about Jesus Christ, there's no commitment here. This is just, I truly, from my heart, all I want to do is tell you what Jesus Christ has done for you. And if you want to do that, I pray that you'll come down here after we finish this service. I'll wait for you. And Christians, I pray that if during the invitation, if there's something that God is pointing out in your life that maybe you've neglected the Word of God or you've neglected doing what He's told you, or any way, you can leave today being in perfect fellowship with the Lord, in perfect fellowship with the Lord. Or you can leave today and just throw that plumb line in the back seat and go on. I pray that you wouldn't do that. Father, I pray that you help us all with this message, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.